Welcome to Music Scene. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and if you're getting excited about the Clearwater Jazz Holiday coming up October 16th through 19th, then this interview is for you. I want to welcome Ben Bloom with Polyrhythmics from the Northwest. Ben, thanks for joining Radio St. Pete today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into what Polyrhythmics is all about, tell us a little bit about who's in the band and this new recording project that is launching your tour.
Sure. Well, thank you. The band is made up of seven musicians. We have Art Brown on tenor saxophone and flute, Scott Morning on trumpet, Elijah Clark on trombone, Nathan Spicer on the keyboards, Jason Gray on the electric bass, Grant Schroff on drums, and myself on guitar, Ben Bloom.
And this new album, Life From Below, tell us a little bit about creating it and the songs and putting it together. How long were you working on this?
Well, Polyrhythmics is a recording project now of over 15 years. And we record records often. Almost every year or so, we get in the studio to make a new record. This record came together relatively quickly. It's a little different than the records we've done in the past in the sense that most of the time we like to sort of road test some of the material that we perform before we go into the studio to record it. This record really was primarily written in the studio in West Seattle. Jason Gray, our bass player, built a studio called Blue Mallard Studios where we've recorded our past several records. And this one was no stranger to that, although most of the material that we were recording this time around, we had never really played live before. So we were taking some sort of new chances and new ways of writing together collectively in the studio. And Life From Below is the result.
Can't wait. You know, this is your 13th year recording and touring. How did you all meet?
Well, the Seattle music scene is very vibrant and very active, and all the members of Polyrhythmics were sort of performing in the Seattle music scene in different ensembles, everything from kind of jazz, funk, fusion projects, things along that nature. And we had all sort of played together or knew each other a little bit here and there just from different performances and different projects. The band came together when Grant, our drummer, and myself sort of both kind of had this idea to put together a large format polyrhythmic funk band that was kind of inspired by West African music and the music in particular of Fela Kuti, and wanted to make a recording project with the goal of recording ourselves and putting out records, putting out 45s at the time. That was really our main goal. So we got together in, let's say, late 2009 in Seattle with the same musicians that are in the band today, and wrote an EP's worth of music and recorded it pretty quickly, and then sort of shopped it around a little bit to see if any labels would be interested in putting out any of that music on vinyl. And to our delight, a few labels sort of jumped at the opportunity, and we put out a few singles. And then, you know, from there, decided, hey, maybe we should play a show. So we booked a show in Seattle that was well attended and popular, and it sort of launched the live version of the band. You know, interestingly, our project has always been focused on recording. That's our main goal, and we oftentimes treat our performances sort of like rehearsals for the recording. So our songs live tend to evolve over time. We tend to play them differently night to night. And the concerts sort of take on sort of a life of their own. And then what we glean from that process, we tend to take into the studio to record. This record, however, was a little different in the sense that all of this music is being played on the road coming up here on this coming tour for the first time.
You know, this is 15 years for you guys of funk, soul, and world influence grooves. And you do a lot of genres. And you have a very, I spent last night listening to things, watching the YouTubes, et cetera, et cetera. There is nothing like this. I don't even know who you could compare yourself to. And I understand that the staging and the performance itself is very cinematic. Talk to me a little bit about putting the show together and what's special about how you do it.
Well, you know, everybody has their own take on music, and I appreciate the words that you're saying there, that this is unique. And you know, I feel we feel like our music sort of at essence is groove-based music. You know, we tend to create music where there is the opportunity to you know, to really sort of relax into a groove and slowly create an arc of harmony and melody and stuff that goes over that music. You know, early on, we were inspired by Fela Kuti's music, which was very, very political, but also very static in the sense that there would be like these long passages of just like a groove that would sort of get the audience into a trance. And that trance would allow for political messaging or complicated harmonies and rhythms to kind of be received. And we sort of still employ that method. You know, we tend to allow music that perform music that where the listener can dance to it, or just kind of sit back and relax and sort of enjoy it. But once we've kind of established like a nice pace or a nice groove, that's when we tend to sort of add harmony and melody and stuff over the top of that, to kind of take people on a journey. And a lot of times that style has been described as very cinematic because I think that most people who listen to instrumental music, you know, everyone sort of gets their own take from it. This music, everyone kind of goes on a journey together, but where they're going may be a different place depending on what they're thinking about and that kind of thing. And oftentimes people have said that our music is sort of like a soundtrack to an activity or their daily life or something like that. And we sort of lean into that. We try to write music that takes somebody on a journey from one point to another. And when we put together our live shows, we try to create set lists and passages and music that does take people on a trip from beginning to end.
Tell me a little bit about some of the cuts on the new album. Let's talk
Sure.
about the songwriting, and also I know, and I also want to point out that filter system, which you did during COVID lockdown, you recorded that apart and largely remote. And so it's so interesting because I listened to some of that, and then now Life from Below, you're back to playing shows and tracking together in studio, and it must be wonderful to just be working together, composing together, playing together, and taking it to the audience. So talk to me about some of those cuts from Life from Below and the backstory on them.
Sure. Differently than some of our previous records, I feel like Life from Below had a lot represents a lot of different members writing, and more so than other records, members would come in with sort of maybe more fully formed ideas of how the songs were going to go, and we would perform and sort of work them out together. And you know, specifically songs like Cow House, for example, which is kind of a sort of an upbeat, maybe like throwback kind of funk number. That song, or songs like Mayo Con Yeo, were all written and composed by Grant Schroff, our drummer. And they were pretty much fully composed songs that we didn't have to do a ton of arranging to. In the past, like a filter system, for example, which you brought up, you know, filter system sort of represents the idea that our band members are sort of like the last filter on the music, and we spend a lot of time sort of arranging music together. Whereas in this record, a lot of that stuff was maybe a little bit more fully worked out by the composers. I feel like on this record, Life from Below, we've also touched on some new genres that we hadn't really touched on before that sort of still fall in that sort of funk jazz ethos, namely disco. So we have a song called Smoke and Mirrors, which features a vocalist, which is also another rare treat for Polyrhythmics. Her name is Adrienne De Leon, and she lended vocals on that track. And that was kind of more of a disco feel. And we hadn't really, up until this point, really kind of touched that side of the funk format yet. And also with Mayo Con Yeo, which is with the track that I referenced just a few seconds ago, that song kind of is like a mashup between sort of a New Orleans feel and a go-go feel, which is a style of music that comes out of the Washington, D.C. area. So
And
all
you
that stuff
have,
was
that's
kind
right,
of
you know, and you're going all over the country from North Carolina and Georgia, Clearwater, of course, October 17th, Clearwater Jazz Festival, into the Highlands, into Indiana, Wisconsin. And then, back to, places like Washington, but then Virginia and Pennsylvania. So you're talking about audiences who may not be familiar with some of the genres that you reference. Is that a challenge to kind of book these kinds of shows and introduce people into what is such a uniquely, I mean, the Polyrhythmics, there's nobody like you, but what's it like to have to go all over the country to audiences that maybe haven't even experienced this?
Well, it's a great joy to play for people who have never heard the music before and to learn from their reactions to the music. We've been very fortunate that we have been able to find audiences everywhere that we travel. Although, one of the hard things about being a sound that may not sound like somebody else is it's a little hard to advertise. So sometimes getting people to show up for the first time is a little bit of a trick, and definitely something that I think a lot of instrumental bands struggle with in the nation. But we find great pleasure obviously in performing for new audiences and turning more and more people onto our music, with the hopes that we can continue to make records forever. So we've been fortunate that we've been able to touch some places, but being from the Northwest and from Seattle, it is a little difficult to travel and to get to these far-reaching parts of the country. Every time that we do, we try to make the most of it and obviously bring a really, really good high-energy show and just try to turn on as many people as we can.
Can't wait. So, folks, if you've just joined me in Music Scene, I'm talking to Ben Bloom, guitarist with Polyrhythmics. They will be at Clearwater Jazz Holiday, October 17th. Ben, tell me a little bit about your backstory. When did you start playing music? Do you come from a musical family? Do you come from the Northwest?
Good questions. I don't come from the Northwest. I grew up in the New York City area. I started playing music probably about 11, 12 years old, started on piano. My family was musically inclined, but no sort of real musicians in my family directly. But where I grew up out in New York City, we had a really rich sort of musical director in our high school. Our jazz band instructor named Carl Stroman. We taught a lot of great musicians, and we just had like a real strong music kind of community where I lived. And so a lot of my friends played music, and I got into jazz and the New York City sort of jazz jam band scene that was kind of happening in the late 90s. I picked up guitar and started playing jazz, and then kind of really got into funk music and rhythm guitar and African music and those type of things, which is sort of my favorite type of music to play. I consider myself more of a rhythm guitar player than a lead guitar player. At least that's what I like to play. And I went to school in Boston and moved to Seattle in 2001, where I kind of started my professional music career. So was influenced by a lot of the things that were happening in the Northeast in the 90s, including the jazz fusion scene, sort of the Rope-A-Dope Records that was kind of coming out of New York, and the Daftones record label also out of New York City. And then when I moved to Seattle, I found a really great, vibrant, free music community that was coming up with really creative stuff, and that's kind of where I found the musicians that I play with today.
Tell me a little bit about the festivals you've played at, and have you been in Europe and in places to bring Polyrhythmic to the world?
We play a large variety of music festivals. A lot of times we play some of your more like jam band type of festivals, things like Jam Cruise in the Caribbean or Summer Camp Music Festival in Illinois. And then we also sort of play a lot of different jazz and blues festivals as well. Our music sort of kind of lends itself across a lot of different genres. So different audiences at all those, but the common theme is that everybody likes funky music to dance to. So that's typically where we find ourselves. We played all through the U.S. and Canada, but we have not played in Europe as of yet. We are really, really trying to get over there. We do have a lot of fans in Europe just from our recordings, and have been trying to figure out the way to pay the way to get there.
Well, we hope that this radio show and Clearwater Jazz Holiday will up the ante. So tell me a little bit about how Clearwater Jazz Holiday found you. This is your first time at this Clearwater Jazz Holiday, I believe.
We've actually we played Clearwater Jazz Festival maybe 5 or 6 years ago, right
Okay.
before the pandemic,
Okay.
and had a great time there. And they invited us back last year to perform at Clearwater Jazz Festival, but unfortunately that festival, Mother Nature had other plans. So we had to postpone our performance there to this year. But we had a great time. You know, we really enjoy playing in Florida in general. We've had a lot of great concerts there, different festivals, everything from the Spirit of Suwannee up in northern Florida to the Clearwater Jazz Festival in the past. And we're looking forward to finally coming back. So let's put Mother Nature on the side this year.
We can't wait for that. So what can the audience expect from the concert? And I also want you to tell them a little bit about what you're listening to for funk, who influenced you. And, you know, what is it about funk that it just grabs your soul and it makes your heart beat faster and your feet move faster?
Mostly my biggest influence in funk music is James Brown, as well as, you know, growing up in the 90s, or growing up really like in the Northeast in the 90s, like being influenced by music like Modesty Martin and Wood, which was like sort of a jazz ensemble that was playing funk music, or Maceo Parker, who is still alive, Martin James Brown's kind of coming around and playing. As I got older, my sort of deep dive in funk music sort of expanded quite a bit. And, you know, I find, and I think all of us in Polyrhythmics find that funk music is just, it's music that brings people together. There's especially instrumental funk music where there's no lyrics. It allows people to kind of have this sort of ancient communal bonding experience, whether that be dancing on a dance floor or listening to music together. That doesn't happen all that often anymore. So we find it really important and really fun. And mostly, you know, we're all sort of rhythm players. My approach to guitar comes is very much like a drum set player. And funk music obviously has a lot of really cool and interesting rhythms for us to explore. So we really, really dig that.
Folks, I encourage you. We'll have the website, the Facebook, the YouTube, everything that you could possibly know about Polyrhythmics up in our article that will accompany this interview. What do you do when you are not playing music? What floats your boat in Seattle?
Well, I'm a big coffee drinker, so Seattle is a great place for that. I really enjoy, really what European coffee roasted, brilliance. So everywhere we travel around the country, I try to find the best coffee around for that. But also, you know, writing and recording music outside of the Polyrhythmics group is something that all of us do. I love to teach. So we're kind of active musicians doing all kinds of musical things outside of Polyrhythmics.
Do you perform in Seattle at coffee houses and other and venues just for the heck of it?
We do. You know, we Polyrhythmics has a lot of different side projects. Some of them are recording projects as well as live performance projects, but sort of different smaller ensembles sort of exploring different genres of music. And we do perform in a lot of local Seattle music venues, as well as sort of regional Northwest venues in a lot of those different type projects as well.
What's your favorite club to perform in Seattle? I'm pretty familiar with Seattle. I lived up there for a while.
Well, I think it's hard to say. We have a lot of great venues. The two clubs that we really like to perform are the Crocodile, the new Crocodile in Seattle, and also Nectar Lounge, which has been a home to us since the very, very beginning of our band. Nectar is probably the place that we call like the clubhouse.
The clubhouse, right?
You know, that's a place where we've had many, many great shows, both with our Polyrhythmics and Side Projects. And the staff and the team there are sort of like our family. And, you know, it's one of the funner venues in Seattle to go out and see a show. So we often find ourselves going out to see music there as well as performing.
That's great. Well, we'll make sure we get you some St. Pete Kahlua coffee when you come to town. So you
All
feel right.
right
at home. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to share about Polyrhythmics with our Radio St. Pete listeners?
Give it a shot. We have about eight records out there that you can find on Spotify and on YouTube and anywhere else. And the way that our music spreads to the world is by people like your listeners listening to it and turning their friends on. So don't be shy. If you find a Polyrhythmics track that you like, send it to a friend or a family member or even somebody that you don't like, and that will help expand the Polyrhythmics network. So thank you.
And if you're into funk, Polyrhythmics is for you. Ben Bloom from Polyrhythmics, thank you so much. Folks, you can catch the Polyrhythmics on October 17th at Clearwater Jazz Holiday, Radio St. Pete will be at Clearwater Jazz Holiday. Of course, they're a partner October 16th through the 19th. Ben, thank you so much for bringing us the backstory of this wonderful, eclectic band.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me today.